All right, 12:02 back on the fan. BT and Sal gonna hit with the crown top story of the day. The top story for me, and boy, it put me in a good mood. If even only temporarily, we'll see. It's got to come to fruition. Did you hear Robert Sala earlier today on WFAN with Boomer and Geo? If you did, you heard a different Robert Sala. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all systems go and start booking Super Bowl tickets. It means that at least the Jets now, what I believe, have a fighting chance to have a head coach who's more in charge. I think Robert Sala, and I give him a lot of credit for this, and it's very hard to do it wherever you are. It's really hard to do it in New York with everybody wanting a piece of you and weighing in with an opinion on all sorts of digital, you know, gadgets and microphones and typewriters and laptops. Not typewriters, laptops, you know what I mean. He looked deep into his coaching soul. I think that he was very aware. Now, pressure will do that to you, but it doesn't mean that everybody still does it well. I don't think he was trying to appease anybody this morning. I don't think he was trying to fool us or throw us off scent or placate anybody. I think it took Robert Sala three-plus years to realize he's the one in charge. And, yeah, there's always going to be an element of deference to the future Hall of Fame quarterback and the relationship with the pre-existing offensive coordinator. I get that, and I'm actually okay with that. But what he projected today, even though it's the early signs, if it's a foreshadow to some extent of what he projects during the season, then while I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer and he's not a Parcells, he's not the albatross that many of us believe that he has been so far and could continue to be as a head coach.
I do think it was encouraging listening to him on the morning show. And in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Same thing for the rest of the show. Whatever you missed, check it out on the free Odyssey app. It's encouraging to hear Sala take accountability and acknowledge that every time he tried harder to make things better, it didn't work, and try to be transparent, and it was too transparent, and try to come up with cliches and this or that. And ultimately, it's about wins and losses. He's easy to root for. I really hope the Jets have the ultimate success this year. I want to see it. I just don't believe in him as a head coach because, BT, I don't think that's something you could learn. I do think you could learn and get better. And by the way, this is not the spot to do it. Being hired as a head coach of a New York football team, you shouldn't be learning. You should already be established by the time you get here. The Jets have failed hiring guys time and time again. First-time head coaches drives me up a wall. But anyway, year four, and Sala clearly learning on the job, but I don't think you could learn to be in command. I either think you have that in you or you don't. Sala has not necessarily been put in a position to succeed with the Jets. You know, whether it's the rookie quarterback, whether it's now having Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett kind of take over the offense. But I just think Sala ultimately is too nice to be the successful head coach that we want to see here. Doesn't mean he can't make the playoffs. Doesn't mean they can't have a winning season. But to have the ultimate sustained success, I don't think Sala has it in him. I think he's just too nice a guy. And we talked about it earlier. I don't think that's something you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we saw it the other way with Coughlin, where you can learn to tone it down a little, pull back a little.
Yeah.
You have to evolve, and especially in today's society. And that was going back, you know, what, 10 years or whatever it may be. Same thing with Tibbs, where he's still Tibbs, but maybe dialed back a notch.
Mm-hmm.
How do you dial it up a notch when it comes to getting on the players a little bit after you've already established the groundwork that you're not,
you're a player's coach.
Yeah, you're a player's coach.
I don't think it's easy, but I don't think it's impossible. I think it's got to start with just being honest. Honest without embarrassing people, but it starts with accountability. And you see, here's the thing. If you could, it's salvageable in this sense. It's not like this is the roster that's going to be here forever. So if he can flex is not the right word, but I'll use it here. Flex a little bit more starting now, right? As the turnover, and say they have success this year. Say they have 12-5 and they win a playoff game. Don't get to the Super Bowl, but a lot of people are happy. A lot of wins, playoffs, good, whatever. Okay. And he's back next year. Then as the new rookies come in, and by the way, the rookies on the team this year, you know, the turnover with NFL rosters is such that it's so high that the room that you interacted with 2 years ago is really not the room anymore.
Yeah, and ultimately,
so you can change.
Ultimately, it's about success. And he talked about that. He learned that no matter what he does or says, it's going to be judged on wins and losses. And that's how it should be. That's exactly right. So start winning. And for Sala to truly be able to be comfortable, now he's got to be himself. To be successful, you got to be yourself. Win or lose, succeed or fail, get extended or get fired, doesn't matter. As long as you're being yourself, that's all he can be. So which is his true self? I think he's ultimately too nice, but maybe he was being too nice because he didn't have the true confidence because he hasn't had success as a head coach. He's had success as a coordinator, which led him to the job as a head coach. But until you truly have success at that new job, maybe you can't be fully confident. And that's why we saw him waver a little bit from year one, where he gets kicked in the you-know-where.
Yep.
Year two, same thing. Year three, all of a sudden, you're taking these punches left and right. You're dealing with all the negativity and storm. You maybe lose yourself a little bit, and you certainly lose some confidence. Well, he better go hard this year because this is it. So maybe, though, if they get off to a good start, you start to see a more confident, more in control and in command Robert Saleh. I definitely think the words that he said with Boomer and Joe today were encouraging.
888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I do. When you look at the human mind and the psyche and the psychology of either coaching or playing, you know, keeping it to sports, I think that's a very, very smart thing that you just said, and it's very real about it's really you can kind of fake it, but it's really tough to exude authentic confidence until you have some success. You could hit off a batting tee and you could feel great and you could rip a machine and just rip the L screen apart with line drive after line drive. If you put up 0 for 5 with two punch outs and a little six hopper to second base, you ain't feeling good.
Same thing about the big leagues.
That's what I'm saying. You're not feeling good.
Well,
but guess what? You get one little bloop, a little bloop the other way, a little excuse me seven hopper that goes up the middle. Suddenly you kind of loosen up a little bit. Then maybe you rip a double in the gap and now you're feeling good.
Well, think about it. Happens. Brett Beatty rakes in the minor leagues. You come up in the major leagues. You think you're confident, okay, because you had some success. But how can you truly be confident if you don't have success in the big leagues?
That's part of it as well. Hey, all I know is this. If the proletariat could change and start rooting for Rocky, then Robert Saleh could change a little bit. I mean, come on.
If I could change.
Let's face it. I mean, if they could change under that situation and start pulling for the American on Christmas Day in Russia, I think Robert Saleh can get a little tougher with the locker room.
He could. I need to see it to believe it. Yep. And ultimately, too, comes down then to X's and O's and game day and when to do this.
Who's healthy? I know.
Guys with stupid penalties. Like, there's a different level to it. It's great to hear Saleh take accountability and look from within and acknowledge his mistakes and say he's learning. Those are great things. Now we need to see it play out as a head coach on game day.
So, do you think that he can change? I mean, it is a simple question. You heard him. We played it earlier. We've discussed it. What do you think? Let's get back to these calls here. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. The other thing we discussed, and again, I'm not going nuts. I mean, ranting and raving about it, and it was ugly. It was an unsightly loss to the pathetic, putrid White Sox. But, dude, there were, you know, even me, who really does like this Yankee team more than most in terms of belief and conviction in what they could do, there were three elements of the game that just went sideways. Every element you need. Starting pitching bad, bullpen bad, and situational hitting bad. So where are we with the Yankees after last night? Let's get back to you, Ronkonkoma. Sal's neck of the woods. What's going on Tommy?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, I had to call in because, Sal, you're too nice, man. BT's always busting the Mets chops, you know. Look at Seattle games, you know, they got swept. They had one run. I mean, this White Sox team, they are historically bad. They have, what, 29 wins for the year so far?
Right.
I think it's 28 or 29.
Is it that low?
I
know it's historically bad, but yeah, 29 last night. Yeah. Oh, he said that.
I mean, I had to call it. They're terrible. They're awful. But anyways, I just wanted to call up because I wanted to tell Sal. Now, you got to go a little bit harder tomorrow, especially if they get shellacked again tonight. Will you go harder on BT tomorrow?
Well, about what? What does it mean? Let's say the Yankees get pasted again tomorrow. What's there to say? They still got the most wins in baseball. I mean, there's only so much I could say. What do you want me to do? It was embarrassing, I'm sure, last night.
Let me help you out here, Tommy. You know what he's saving it for?
He wants me to make fun of you.
No, I know. He's saving it for two things.
Yeah.
Tommy, he's saving it for a potential playoff ouster, and he's saving it for Soto.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's what he's saving it for.
I mean, the Soto will be, that will be game over.
Yeah, this is playbook, folks.
Yeah, I just don't, like, I mean, do you want me to come on? And I'm sure that there are some Met fans who want to hear that. It's just not in me right now. What, make fun of the Yankees because they got shellacked by the White Sox? They did get beat down by them. I mean, they got spanked by the White Sox, but it really doesn't mean anything. The loss itself doesn't mean anything. Look deeper And I get it. I know there's an entertainment part that fans want to ha-ha, oh my God, you lost to the White Sox. But to me, doing this show today, that's not the main story. The main story is the Yankees' flaws were again on full display last night. The results of the game don't matter, but it's what happened in the game to get those results. And yeah, obviously it's embarrassing losing to the White Sox, but it happens. I mean, you know, the Mets could go on and lose to the A's or the Marlins this week. It does happen in baseball. Now, it doesn't happen often with the White Sox. 29 victories on the year, and the Yankees better make sure they take care of business the rest of the way here, but I can't get on you for that.
Let me just listen. You hear about the 62 Mets, and that's the contextualization of how bad the White Sox have been. Let me give you another little snippet. They said it on the game last night. If you deleted the White Sox, what was it, 23 or 24 game losing streak, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was 21. If you, I thought it was a little more than that, but all right, I'll go with 21. If you take away the 21 game losing streak and another losing streak, which was 14 games earlier in the season, they would still have the worst record in baseball.
Oh my God.
If those losing streaks didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We hear about the historic nature of it, but when you actually look at the standing and see 91 losses,
it's rough.
Good God, that is brutal. How do you, as a fan, go through a season?
I don't know.
I wasn't around in 62. Like, that is.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how you do that.
62, also a different story because it was an expansion team. Yeah. You're just excited to have a team.
Baseball's back.
Yeah. The lovable losers.
National League Baseball's back.
Yeah. Woo. It's a lot different when you're in the midst of however many years the White Sox have been in existence and you have a year that hasn't been this bad in the history of the sport.
Do you want a year different? I wonder if Met fans want the White Sox to actually unseat them as the worst team.
I do.
I figured you do.
I do, but also, that team has no real, you know, I wasn't around, obviously. I wasn't born until 10 years later, 17 years later to be exact. So there's no connection there.
You like to expunge
the fact that the Mets, the organization, whether I was around for it or not, expansion or not, their organization has the worst season in the history of the sport on their resume.
I understood, but you could also look at it the other way. It keeps you relevant.
The lovable losers.
The constant references. You know, it keeps you guys in the front page a little bit.
I'd be curious to see how some others felt about that.
Yeah, me too. I knew your answer would be that. Yeah. I knew it.
But people who maybe experienced it in the 60s.
That's a little more intimate. That's different.
Maybe there's, they take pride in that. We're the lovable losers, and we want that worst season in baseball. I don't.
Maybe. Let me get Eddie and Mohegan, BT and Sal on the fan. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay. How are
listen,
you?
Listen, let me ask you. Everybody calls up and says, you got to get rid of Boone. You got to get rid of Cash. It's off with no reasoning whatsoever. Here are two guys that have only once since they've been here. Not once. Well, let me finish what I'm saying.
I got you.
I've never heard once, who are we going to replace them with? They never say that. Who's better? Who are you going to bring in that's going to do a better job? Like you said, they have 70 wins. They're one of the best teams in baseball. They've been one of the best teams. They haven't won. It took the Dodgers 30 years to win. They have a payroll through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
It took them 30 years. It's a difficult thing to do. It's the way the game is played. Babe Ruth had a .342 batting average. That means he got a hit 34.2% of the time. That means he failed 65.8% of the time. It's a hard game, and you're going to lose
is hard. Let me just say something. I think that, especially when it comes to baseball, we do oversimplify it. Forget about Cashman for a moment. Just the game, it's inherently it. Now, all pro sports are hard. It is hard, man. And I do think that we trivialize that, you know, hitting, and we may, come on, get some hits. What do you do? They're not trying. We know they're trying. The thing with is where you lose me, though, with Cashman. Boone separate. I've defended Boone more than most here.
Yeah, he's a manager.
Like, the reason why most of us take issue with Cashman's situation is because he's made the same mistakes repeatedly. He's built a poor roster, whether it was for years a dearth of lefty power or the wrong trades or not drafting and developing. Like, there was enough evidence.
Too many strikeouts.
Yeah, exactly. Just built poorly, like the same script.
Yeah.
Let me just defend him for a minute.
Go for
okay?
it.
Understand, and I understand what you're saying. Cashman has a lot of money to make a lot of different deals. So the ones he gets wrong are going to be more glaring because he's able to make more moves. There are certain teams that won't make as many moves because they don't have the cash.
Yeah, but hold on, Ed. No, wait, but Ed, hold on. Now, that's that fundamentally, you're right. That's a true statement, but I don't think that that applies to Cashman. I mean, really, Brian Cashman, I feel like more of his mistakes are of the lower monetary variety. Why's Gallo here? Why'd you extend Hicks for $8 or $9 million? Even DJ was a lower level contract extension. You bring in Montas, that's peanuts. I mean, Efros. Like the big ticket moves, whether it's A-Rod, you know, whether it's Garrett Cole, whether it's giving Aaron Judge the contract, even though he almost screwed that up. Hmm. I mean, for the most part, he hits those out. Like, he nails those.
But by the way, who's blaming Boone or Cashman today?
Yeah,
Nobody's talking about that. So where's that coming from?
Probably just a general.
We're not talking about Boone or Cashman. It's over for Cashman right now as far as the moves he made. They are what they are. We're going to watch this team play out. Then we could assess the moves. Did he do enough? Or did he bring in the wrong guys? Whatever. We could say what we think now, but we'll see it play out. And Boone's not going anywhere. He's going to be the manager. And you and I never blamed. Well, maybe you did a little bit.
I mean, I've had some, like, with Gleyber Torres, yeah, I believe that he's culpable with that for allowing him to kind of languish in his intermittent participation with effort. Yeah, that's a Boone thing to me.
Fair enough. I'm not blaming Boone at all. Now, I said I would have made a change just in general, the same way they told Joe Girardi after he got to Game 7 of the ALCS in a year where they were expected to do nothing. Thanks, but we're moving on just because of change. That's what I would have told Cashman and Boone, because Boone just collateral damage in 2021 after that season. Sorry, but it's time to move on. But it's not Aaron Boone's fault, and nobody today's talking about the manager or the general manager. We're talking about the team's performance last night.
Let's get Timmy in Indian Hills with BT and Sal on the fan. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, BT. Sal, hey. Great job today.
What's up, Tim?
I think you're 100% on as far as Sal goes. He really does have to be able to lay into Aaron Rodgers a little bit and give him a little bit of a hard time in order to get through to the other players, because I do think that a lot of the players today are a little softer. You know, like you said, BT, when you played, you were getting yelled at all the time, and it didn't
matter. Well, not just me, and not anybody that me and Sal are kind of the same age. Hoff, I mean, anybody that's over 40 or over the age of 35, 30, we got lambasted, man. Now, some guys were more than others in terms of coaching methods and craziness, but we used to get cup checks with a bat when we were 9 years old. I mean, it was crazy.
Right, and you as a coach of kids, I'm sure you hold Cole a little bit more accountable than the other kids, and that will show the other kids that they're allowed to take a little bit of a lambasting here and there.
Yeah, sometimes I'm probably a little too hard on my own son. I think that that's what a lot of dads do, because you're almost like, well, I don't want anybody to think I'm going soft on my son. So you almost overcorrect it. Hoff, you probably do this with your boys as well. You coach, and yeah, but no, I mean, this is obviously totally different in pro sports. You cannot treat pro athletes who are making, you know, tens, hundreds in some cases, of millions of dollars the way they did in 1979 when they were making $80,000, which was good in 1979.
Right.
But you just can't do it.
But it doesn't mean as a head coach you can't hold players accountable for either their mistakes or something that you want to see them do better.
Yeah.
And I do think it would do some good for Salah to get on Rodgers, even if he doesn't do anything wrong. Like, there's always something you could say or call out. Just let everybody know you're in charge. However you want to figure that out, to do it, to make it happen, do it. But right now, nobody doubts that Aaron Rodgers is the one in charge. It's the Aaron Rodgers show, not the Robert Saleh show. It should not be like that. That is not a recipe for success. As established and as great as Aaron Rodgers is, much I love him, you still want a head coach to be the guy. That's the structure. And we haven't seen that yet with Saleh. Hopefully he figures it out in year 4. Hey, crazier things have happened. He could. I need to see it to believe it. I just think he's too nice and doesn't have it in him to get on his guys. I think he wants to rip your opponent's heart out. He talks about violence, and we're gonna have.
Yeah.
He said, "quote We're gonna have some kills this year." That was his words.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a nasty guy in that regard. I want to see him use some of that on his own players when the time is right.
I like it. I'm with you, too.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Mike's Yankees box office blitz. You know the music. And we've got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bombers take on Colorado at the stadium coming up on Friday, August 23rd. Right now, we'll do call the number 10 866 540-WFAN. That number again is 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office Blitz and the Fan. And make sure you guys tune in again tomorrow, same time, right here at BT and Sal, right around 12:30 or so, 12:25. Another chance to win. So we'll get back to these calls, a little Sala, a little Yankees as well. 888-808-1019. Just quickly on Cortez, who's pitching tonight. He's just been a disaster. And, you know, every time, this goes back to the offseason, Sal, and I always, whenever we talk about Cortez, I would always say, man, I really respect his story, and I really like him. He's easy to root for, but I don't believe in him. And, you know, he was putting up some evidence, maybe to the contrary, early. He has been awful. Listen to some of these. I mean, this is as bad as it gets. His ERA in July is 7. His ERA in August is over 11. And in the last 30 days, opponents are hitting 360 against him.
That doesn't seem good. Yeah, and look, if he doesn't get it done against the White Sox tonight, he's not the guy.
Even if he does,
he's not the guy you want. Well, right.
Who cares?
No, if he does, it doesn't really matter. But if he doesn't, oh my God.
Yeah, you got to stick him in a pen. You need Clark Schmidt back soon.
How bothered would you be if the Yankees lose this series? Like, is there? I know the game doesn't really mean anything, and ultimately the series doesn't mean anything. Big picture, but
yeah. Well, it's a tough question because I know it doesn't mean anything big picture.
Right.
So where do I generate like real anger if I know it doesn't really truly mean anything big picture? It would be certainly be an annoyance on the lowest level.
Yeah.
It would be a little embarrassing.
They built up so much equity that it doesn't hurt in any way, shape, or form other than, oh my God, how did we just lose 2 out of 3 to the worst team in baseball history?
It's not like it's the Nationals or the A's or the Marlins. I mean, it's and they're not good.
Right.
It's the White Sox.
It's the worst team in baseball history.
Yeah.
I get that stuff happens. What are the betting odds? Can we get that? Can you guys check Zoo or Hoff?
Good question.
What are the betting odds? Because I remember a series. I wish I remember what year it was, but I remember a series. The Yanks were playing the Royals. God, this had to be 2000, I don't know, probably after 2005 and on.
Mm-hmm.
Between 2005 and 2007.
So Giambi and those guys. That Yankee team.
And the Royals were, it was more that the Royals were like the worst.
Yeah, they were bad.
Doormat.
Yeah.
So the Yankees were playing in Kansas City, and I was like, hey, I was big into the betting, and they were like huge favorites. And they kept losing. Like, they lost the first one. It's like, all right, well, there's no way they're going to lose 2 out of 3
mm-hmm.
to this team. And they lost again. And I'm pretty sure they ended up getting swept in Kansas City. So it does happen. But, like, you would think the odds tonight, like, if you're a betting man, you can be like, there's no way.
Well, you got to go, like, I think if you're going to bet the Yankees tonight, I think you have to do, like, -2.5 runs. I think that, because the odds otherwise would be so not worth it in the baseball sense. Like, even a run and a half.
What would be your guess tonight? Yankees -300?
Just to straight up win the game?
Straight up win. Yeah, because I don't like messing with that. I know what you're saying. You got to do the run and a half.
Yeah.
But I don't like messing with that. Just to start, we'll get the guys going.
I would say tonight the Yankees are -390. I think even though Chicago's starting pitcher is actually decent.
I'll say 290 because of the pitching matchup.
Okay, I'm going to say it's higher than that. Do we have the answer?
295.
Wow, look at you. Maybe you got to bet it.
I'm back, baby.
Make amends for that Kansas City series in 2005.
And then what's the run line?
-1.5 is what?
Run and a half. So it's -295. God, almost 3-1. Right. It just doesn't make sense baseball-wise to do that. You can't lay 300 to win 100. What do you got?
I have -180 for -1.5.
All right, so that's a little more palatable.
Right, but
that's a little more palatable.
Even that, it's 2-1. You got to win by 2?
But it's not 3-1. I mean, think about it. If the Yankees, don't look at it this way, and I'm not advising anybody to go out there and put the mortgage on the Yankees and win it by a run and a half tonight, but if you're going to take some action tonight, don't you think it's more likely that the Yankees win 7-2, 11-5, based on who they are
and
who the White Sox are?
But here's the problem.
Slant the odds in your favor.
Yeah, but here's the problem. What if they win 4-3 or 6-5?
Well, then you lose money. It's called gambling.
But I hate to lose knowing that. See, the bet is not... Like, I would do this, and I do this roulette, and it makes no sense. Like, if it's 5 in a row on red.
You go black.
Yeah, because, like, the odds are, and then what happens? Zero.
Sal's going back to the. Sal's walking back to the ATM machine at 2:36 in the morning. That's what's happening.
True story. That has happened before.
I hate that.
Like, it doesn't mean anything, especially with roulette. But if you, my thinking would be, well, the Yanks aren't going to lose two in a row to the worst team in baseball history.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't factor in how many they're going to win by. It factors in they're not going to lose.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would rather just. I know what you're saying. I would rather just.
I think it's a smarter bet, though. I know what you're saying as well. To me, the smarter bet is to put money down on the Yankees to win by more than a run, and in the event that they don't, you lose less money. You know
right.
what I mean? But I believe it's more because the odds are lower.
But they, right, I don't know which is the smart. I think the smarter bet, yeah, you're right. If they lose, you're going to lose more money. But
correct.
If they win, you're winning. In your case, if they win, you might not win.
Unless you win by more than one, which is that's called gambling.
I know that,
you know?
But eliminate the run line because
I know
you just
what
win
saying.
Or lose.
Here's what you really should do. I'm going to talk to you, though, get a rabbit hole time now. Here's what you really should do.
We should do this together tonight.
I'll do it with you. I'll do it with you. Tonight, what you should do is, if you're inclined to do this, right, you should bet the Yankees on the run line. All right, lay the, was it 295 for 1.5?
Yeah.
All right.
No.
I'm sorry. 295 for
straight up. Yeah.
I would go 1.5. That's what I would do myself. That's
I would go straight.
Okay.
I hate doing it, but.
And if you lose tonight, you double down tomorrow and you take the Yankees on the run line again.
Yes.
Eventually, a good team will beat an awful team.
Yes. That's what I thought when they were playing the Royals years ago.
But if you do that 10 times, I think you're going to win more than you're not.
See, you're right.
And like that's really gambling.
If you're going to do it, it's like Reddick. If you're going to hold out, you got to do it. If you're going to do it, dig in and do it. Okay, let's start the run tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the Yankees to win. Or
correct.
The Yankees might.
And if not, I'll see tomorrow with the same bet.
Exactly.
But don't you think that in the long run, I know it might hurt you for a week, but if you do that enough, I believe that you'll win.
I guess.
You just got to have the bankroll to do it, and you got to have the stones
to
do.
So you're saying because it's the better team? Yeah, but the Yankees were playing like one of the worst teams in the league for 7 weeks. Who's got the bankroll to cover that? We're talking about like normal people.
Yeah,
who's
got
the bankroll to cover 7 weeks of ineptitude?
I bet your Frances is laying that running line tonight.
I just know what.
I hear you. I hear you.
If you had more money, wouldn't you lay, like if you were coming from more resources, wouldn't you lay more then and just not risk the half?
100%.
Okay.
100%. Like if I just had.
Rich people betting the run line. You're not betting the run line. You're betting the money line.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just win the game. And no doubt. Hey, real quick. Hoff just said he's got a little bit of news. Is this a Giants injury? Do you have something
for us? It's not Giants injury, but it affects the Giants week one.
What?
What do you have? Go ahead.
So J.J. McCarthy is undergoing knee surgery today.
Wow.
And he's going to
be. Sam Darnold.
Yep. Sam Darnold will be most likely be the quarterback week one versus the Giants.
All right, Giants 1-0 on the season.
Wow, knee surgery for him?
A torn ACL or just meniscus?
Not specific.
Ugh.
Didn't he just look good in the preseason game, the first preseason
game? He did look pretty good. Yeah.
Well, we don't know the severity of the injury. Not that I care about the Vikings necessarily, but McCarthy is interesting.
No, Gio cares about him.
Well, he does, but I'd be curious to see what the length of the injury is. You want to see how these rookies do.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially him when he should be the starter over Sam Darnold. Go ahead.
According to Schefter, McCarthy complained about knee soreness over the weekend and underwent an MRI on Monday night, and then they determined he needed
surgery. That seems like a meniscus thing. There's no way it's going to like roll into, not that you can't walk off the field with a torn ACL, but it's not like this is lingering for 2 days. Let me go check it out. No, I don't think it's quite as blunt.
Just cleaning it up a little bit. He'll be out.
Yeah, got to shave some things. I mean, I don't want to be Dr. Tierney here, but yes,
it's Dr. BT.
Lord knows I've had enough surgeries. I can comment on this stuff, but no, I do think that
we do need a sounder for that. I think because we do get into this quite a bit.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
it sounds fairly benign, but again, it's not my knee.
You've had your knee scope before, or not?
That's the one thing I have not. Back, Achilles, Tommy John elbow, an elbow again, double hernia. You name it, I've had it, man.
Okay.
Stitches all over. Ugh.
I'm the opposite. Knock on wood.
Well, because you were a softy. You didn't do anything.
That is That's correct. Right. That is true. That is true. I was getting my hands dirty.
Oh, my God. All right. Thank you for that, Hop. That's pretty interesting. Okay.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Now, time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. All right, boys. Welcome back from vacation.
Thank you, Huff.
BT and Sal, Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth. I'm going to start with you, BT.
Okay.
Malik Nabers is the most indispensable Giant going into the 2024 season.
I would say that's a bold face lie. It's got to be Daniel Jones.
Mm.
It's got to be. I mean, there's nothing on the roster that remotely can do what he can do when he's right. And, you know, it's a tough one because you can look at offensive line. Andrew Thomas, when he got hurt last year, look right away, look what happened to him in Dallas. Obviously, Nabers going to open things up for the other players, but it's a quarterback league, and I think the O-line's going to be better this year, a lot better for the Giants. And, you know, if you don't have a competent quarterback back there, what are you doing? So I'm going to say that it's a lie.
What's gotten into you?
What?
The Malik Nabers, leader of the bandwagon here. That's a bold-faced truth.
Yeah, yeah. He framed it differently. Who? I think he's going to be amazing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not running from that. I think he's going to be great.
Oh, no, understood. But if they lose Malik Nabers, who's making the plays? They don't even have Saquon Barkley
Jalen
anymore.
Jalen Hyatt.
Oh, so then what's the big deal about going out and getting Nabers, who's supposed to be a game changer, transcendent, best receiver in the sport? He is supposed to be their playmaker. Without him, they've got nothing.
Yeah, who's going to throw to him without Daniel Jones?
Tommy DeVito, if he's not
Tommy
there.
DeVito.
Yeah, well, I mean, they at least have other options. I know Locke is banged up here as well, but I don't think the disparity between, and this is a knock on Jones, sadly, I don't think the disparity from Jones to Locke or even to DeVito is that great. Like, Jones should be the best. Yes, I understand what you're saying. And I do obviously understand the importance of a starting quarterback. But my goodness, without Nabers, especially BT going into the season, the good feel, the excitement around the New York Giants going into the season this year is all about Nabers.
Well, good news is he is healthy. It's an interesting question, and I love him. I love him before anybody.
Right, I'm surprised to hear you say that.
But I'm saying the quarterback in this instance.
All right, Sal, on to you. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. You will read Aaron Rodgers' book before he completes his first pass as a New York Jet.
Is it even out?
Yeah. The release is the 13th.
Of what?
Of August.
Wait, is it? It comes out tomorrow?
The 13th.
Oh, today?
Today. It's out now.
Boy, I didn't even realize that. I heard them talking about it on the morning show. Yeah. I did not know the book was out. Now, this is a tricky one. I am going to say it's a bald-faced lie. I will not read the book before his first pass.
I know where he's going.
I am going to listen to
that
book.
There you go.
That's out today?
Yeah.
I'm going to re-up my Audible subscription and go on there and download. That's a must-listen to.
I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. I'm going to read, if not the whole thing, I'm going to read a lot.
As
a matter of fact, I'm face-first into an article right now, but from the book, an excerpt about Olivia Munn. I mean, that's the stuff. That's the first thing I can't wait.
Yeah,
you know?
It's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
So now will you go buy it or order it on Amazon or whatever?
But they'll probably send it to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is it? I want an advanced copy. We should have had this weeks ago.
Well, you know, fellow Marist author is
Ian O'Connor?
Ian O'Connor's Marist guy.
Oh, maybe we get him in studio.
Oh, I mean, you know, maybe.
Well, I mean, too late now. I wanted the book before it came out.
Why?
Because now I want to go on Audible and read it or listen to it.
I'll tell you, the excerpt that I have now, it's pretty interesting already.
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm 100%
pretty good.
I am going to get started on that this week.
He's very talented, too.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. And Rodgers, by the way, in the interview with Boomer and Geo, he didn't authorize
this. I know
this,
he didn't.
But he also didn't, like, just poo-poo it and say it's garbage.
It was pretty clear he's got respect for Ian.
Correct.
And, you know, he spoke to 500 sources or tried to, and he thinks he got to at least half of them.
I can't
so
wait
So it's not an irresponsible, you know, compilation of nonsense.
Rodgers is fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
It should be a good book.
Yeah. Hoff, can you read?
I can't. I was going to say, quick jab here. Listening is not reading. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's why I said lie at first. I can't. I'm not going to read it. I don't have that time, but I am going to listen to it. I can't wait.
All right, last one. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. BT, Jason Dominguez will be called up before September 1st.
I think that is a bald-faced truth. I do. And I'm starting to scream it from the top of the mountains here. I just think that, you know, you saw it again last night, and I know that the score got away from them, and it probably, you know, you almost forget this because they got destroyed by 10 runs to the pitiful White Sox, but there were situations, Giancarlo Stanton had a chance to do something, get Judge's back, didn't do it. So, and that's not the only reason. If Chisholm is hurt, that's another thing. You know, he went for the MRI. I just think it behooves certainly Dominguez, and by extension the Yankees, get him here now so he's kind of immersed in the culture of this, what's going on, and get around Soto in the batting cage and just get him here. And I think that they have to know that. Bald-faced truth, he'll be here by September 1.
Yeah, I'm going to say bald-faced lie. Is it a lane for him? Although the caveat here is Stanton could get banged up any minute. You know, he walks down the stairs the wrong way, he's going to get hurt, and it is only August 13th, so we have a few weeks to go before that September 1st. However, I'm going to say that Stanton stays healthy, and I'm going to believe and trust Brian Cashman that there is no lane currently for Dominguez. I don't think it opens up until September. Bald-faced lie. He will not be up here pre-September call.
Interesting. I got news for you. If they were to get swept by the White Sox, and they're like, and they're fairly impotent offensively in the process, I don't think they'll get swept. Yeah. But if they did, they'll be up by Friday.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something.
You can't tolerate that.
Change the narrative. Bring Dominguez up and avoid everybody talking about the White Sox sweep. No way. So we got to bet it big tonight.
Mm. Are we going to throw a little coin on this? That was interrupted with that Giant news. Are we doing something here?
I think we should.
I mean, the McCarthy news.
I think we should, and then we'll react to it tomorrow.
All right.
This will be our first official family play. We have to do it. Hoff, are you in on that?
Why not?
Betting the Yankees tonight? Zoo, what about you? You going to do it? Are you with us tomorrow?
Let's do it.
All right, there you go. Everybody's in. For how much, we'll determine that.
Yep.
You got to lead the way here.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you get your FanDuel,
right?
Yeah,
the FanDuel account. Slap it open, see what's going on.
I'll PayPal you how much or whatever I'm in.
Whatever. I mean, are we going big?
Are they going to lose to the White Sox? By the way, you think I'm mad at the Yankees? No, if we bet the big and they lose to the White Sox, I will rip them to shreds tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
I think we got to go C-No to peace. I think we got to go four spot here. I ain't got to.
400 apiece?
No, C-No to peace. Four. Well, you know, maybe you and I'll go 100. Maybe Hoff and Zoo go like 25,
right, but
50.
100 to win what? Like 25?
100 for me, 100 from you.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
One and a half. I'm doing the run and a half. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. I can't be swayed to bet your way. You got busted and broke for a while.
There's already dissension in the ranks.
So maybe we don't do it.
I just wanted to win tonight. They're going to win.
Follow my lead. We'll win this way. By the way, Hoff just said in my ear. So I was right. It is meniscus.
Torn meniscus.
That's right. How long is he out for?
They didn't say yet. Yeah.
He's fine.
Dr. BT. There you go. We need your own sounder. I like that.
I know the body. All right. Let's get to Billy in Northport, Connecticut. What's going on, Bill? All right.
All that time finding yourself.
Bill. Billy.
What's up, Bill?
Yeah, is this me?
Save me here, buddy.
What's up,
Bill?
Yeah, okay, all right. This is Northport, not Connecticut.
Anyhow,
the reason I'm calling is there was two things. If I may finish, I'd really appreciate it. I really love you guys. You're terrific. And BT, I know you've played ball, so you can appreciate it by exactly what I'm about to say.
Go for it.
But in any case, a pitcher should throw the best pitch he has as often as possible. And I think the Yankees are being mismanaged. And by the way, it's nothing against Aaron Boone, because I was at the game in 2003 when he hit the walk-off against Boston to get us into the World Series. So I'll always love him because of that, just like Bucky. But he is not managing. I'll give you an example. A few games ago, I forgot who the heck we were playing, but the guy couldn't get the ball over the plate. He walked three guys in a row, couldn't even get near the plate. Now all of a sudden, we got nobody out, bases loaded, and Torres is getting up.
Is this the Rangers series you're talking about? Last series?
It could be the Rangers series. Bases loaded, Torres is getting up, and then he swings at the first pitch, which is in the dirt, and pops it up. Now, I blame, and I called another radio station, but the guy who I talked to hasn't played ball as often as you.
It doesn't matter. This is the station. Keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
How can we take you seriously? You're calling another radio station. Yeah. You don't even know what team the Yankees are playing. You're going to knock Aaron Boone? I mean, come on, Bill. Yeah. Get with it.
No. Wait a minute. That's got nothing to do with it. All right, the team. What matters is that it was a game. The opposing pitcher couldn't get the ball over the plate. Didn't even come close. And then this guy swings at the first pitch. And then the retort to me from the host of the show was, they believe that the next ball will be down the middle. I said, you know what? One thing I loved about Joe Torre, you know, he would take certain analytical.
Who believed that the next ball would be down the middle? Like, what is this? Close your eyes and, hey, I believe the next ball is going to be down the middle. Like me with my roulette theory.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
He's got to throw a strike. Yeah, at some point.
Let it rip, Claver.
Guys, that's what the host said.
I don't know. I don't.
No, I don't believe that. I believe is you put the pressure on the pitcher.
Yeah.
Don't swing at the first pitch. I agree with you. But all right, that's another story.
Bill, calm down, Bill. I agree with you, by the way. I know it's changed a lot, and I know it's hitter dependent. Like Aaron Judge is going to have more latitude than Rice at this stage, even though Rice has a fairly good sense of the strike zone. But when a pitcher is on the ropes, let him hang himself, man. And if he can't find the strike zone, hey, make him throw one. Make him throw two.
Don't do him any favors.
I know.
It's common sense. It goes back to Little League 100 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Common sense. Oh, they swing at it because they think it's going to be down the middle. The next one's due. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just.
Then again, I will tell you, sometimes people just ignore signs.
Yeah. I know. But you think Boone's giving him a take sign in that spot?
No,
like,
no,
what are we,
no,
10 just, years old?
No, I ignored a bunt sign in college. My coach flagged, ignored it twice in a row.
He'd come get you with the bat, hit you in the shins.
He only flipped out, man. Yeah. Ignored it twice. Then I struck out.
Why am I not surprised?
No, it was rough. It was rough. But that's not, listen, the pros.
I'm sorry, coach. How'd you play that one?
I didn't
I'm sorry.
See
were you saying bunt?
Yeah. Well, I never really did bunts. I was kind of taken by surprise, whatever. I was in a bad funk and he was trying to get me out of it. And it was guys on base. I'm like, I ain't bunting. Trying to hit my way out of this, whatever. I'll deal with the repercussions later. And I had to. Yeah. But I really do wonder, like, as much as that call was a little bit all over the map, I do wonder, like, what the professional protocol is. Like, to me, you're down multiple runs in the ninth inning. You're not swinging until the opposing pitcher throws a strike. I mean, that's the way it used to be. 1-0, not swinging until 2-0, not swinging.
Well, it also like, used to be 3-0, just a, you don't swing, and now.
No, but I'm saying you don't even swing.
No, like, I know.
Down three runs, ninth inning, no balls, no strikes, first batter, first pitch, ball. You're not swinging. And if it's a ball, you're not swinging to the next pitch. You're not swinging until he shows he can throw you a strike. I don't know when that went away.
Here's the thing. They're taught to find a pitch in your zone and hammer it. Do damage with it. I don't care what the count is. So if Glaber's not taking that into account, hey, this guy's been wild, I'm just going to go up there and look for my pitch, and if I think it's my pitch, I'm going to do some damage with it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you can't trust Glaber Torres to do that. Like you said, you could trust Soto, you could trust Judge.
Yep.
You can't trust Glaber Torres. So I think it's more about the player than about the manager or the message.
Yes, but now let's, and I don't know the answer to this, and listen, I can accuse Glaber Torres of not always running hard and not being involved in the game mentally, but I don't want to levy this criticism, so it's not an attack. I'm honestly asking the question. If you're Gleyber Torres and you're hitting 230-something with an OPS of 691, whatever the hell it is, and you're in a contract year and you got a couple of guys on base, I might be swinging too to try to pump up those numbers a little bit.
Doesn't mean it's right.
So what's the motivation? Is it about self or team? Whether it's Gleyber or somebody else, I don't know.
So,
does that happen to Pete Alonso next week? I don't know.
And then where does the manager step in? Like, obviously in Little League or in college, it's different where the manager is going to dictate more of those things.
Oh, I got yanked from the game. I was out of the game.
All right. Now, does that happen in the big leagues? No.
No.
You get a little pat on the back. Hey, go get him next. I mean, I don't know. What are the conversations? Did he miss a sign? We really don't know.
We don't know. But I just think it's so different. I really do. I don't know. And not necessarily different good. There's just so many things in baseball that you used to abide by that are just overlooked, and you don't even calculate it anymore. It's crazy.
But ultimately, it should come down to a feel. Like, it shouldn't have to be said. Now, maybe it does, but Boone shouldn't have to go to Glaber and say, hey, this guy can't find the strike zone.
I know.
Like, we're down, whatever the situation was. I forget what he's talking about, which game. But we're down. You know, the guy's on base. The guy can't find the strike zone. It shouldn't need to be said that let him throw you a strike first. And then Gleyber goes up there and swings at the first pitch and doesn't do anything with it. Like, if you are going to swing at the first pitch, you better make sure you do something with it.
Yep.
Just at least let him throw you a strike. All right, now he's got the zone. Now he can have it at bat. Until he does, it's common sense.
I don't think the Yankees are alone in that regard. I think it's permeated throughout baseball. It's permeated baseball, excuse me. And I think it's just the way the game is now. You know, I don't want to say taught, but what's accepted. There's more tolerance for that stuff. It's crazy.
Well, like you said, you'd be yanked from a game if you didn't do something right.
I was.
Right. And I do think in the old days, you know, Billy Martin, whoever you want to reference, would be holding guys accountable if you didn't do the right thing by the team. And in that spot, that's a selfish thing to be swinging at the first pitch.
It is.
The guy's not throwing a strike.
What do you think Billy, and again, a million years ago, but what do you think Billy, or even Torrey, but let's just stick with Billy, you brought him up. What would Billy have done? You know, how do you think he would have shot holes through Verdugo's body with a glare after he popped up that bunt attempt. Yeah. He would have just shot him a look and maybe more.
And Gleyber Torres wouldn't be here right now to be pulled out of the game.
Yeah, true. I mean, they would have gotten rid of him. Well, Billy would have ridden him out of town.
But that's also the point.
Or
like,
Billy would have made him a more intense player from day one.
Then, yeah, that's, I mean, that's
that
the
may
big,
have happened. You're
correct. That's the
and
bigger
he may have
point.
Been a retired number at
the,
some point.
The worst thing these guys do now is just let it linger and let it go on. The Gleyber Torres is not a problem today or this morning or this year. He's been a problem for years. It was the same thing with Gary Sanchez for years.
Josh Donaldson was
because
pimping.
You don't do it from the start. Yep. Nip it in the bud. Yep. Odell Beckham Jr.
Yep.
The beginning of it. Coughlin was kind of handcuffed on that one, and it created
Coughlin
a problem.
Coughlin got soft with him, no doubt. He absolutely got soft with him.
Well, because he knew it was at the end and he needed him, but it turned out to be the wrong thing.
Yeah, I hear you. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal.
here on The Fan. We're going to get an update from Bogish. That'll come at you right now. And looking forward to our next guest. This Fanatics Fest thing is going to be absolutely insane. That's coming up next hour as well. So we've got that for you. Bogish, what do you got, bud? Take it away.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. All right, boys. Welcome back from vacation.
Thank you, Huff.
BT and Sal, Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth. I'm going to start with you, BT.
Okay.
Malik Nabers is the most indispensable giant going into the 2024 season.
I would say that that's a bold face lie. It's got to be Daniel Jones.
Mm.
It's got to be. I mean, there's nothing on the roster that remotely can do what he can do when he's right. And, you know, it's a tough one because you can look at offensive line. Andrew Thomas, when he got hurt last year, look right away, look what happened to him in Dallas. Obviously, Nabers going to open things up for the other players, but it's a quarterback league, and I think the O-line is going to be better this year, a lot better for the Giants. And, you know, if you don't have a competent quarterback back there, what are you doing? So I'm going to say that it's a lie.
What's gotten into you?
What?
The Malik Nabers, leader of the bandwagon here. That's a bold-faced truth.
Yeah, yeah. He framed it differently. Then I think he's going to be amazing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not running from that. I think he's going to be great.
Oh, no, understood. But if they lose Malik Nabers, who's making the plays? They don't even have Saquon Barkley
anymore. Jalen Hyatt.
Oh, so then what's the big deal about going out and getting Nabers? He's supposed to be a game changer, transcendent, best receiver in the sport. He is supposed to be their playmaker. Without him, they've got nothing.
Yeah, who's going to throw to him without Daniel Jones?
Tommy DeVito, if he's not
Tommy
there.
DeVito.
Yeah, well, I mean, they at least have other options. I know Locke is banged up here as well, but I don't think the disparity between, and this is a knock on Jones, sadly, I don't think the disparity from Jones to Locke or even to DeVito is that great. Like, Jones should be the best. Yes, I understand what you're saying. And I do obviously understand the importance of a starting quarterback. But my goodness, without Nabers, especially BT going into the season, the good feel, the excitement around the New York Giants going into the season this year, it's all about Nabers.
Well, good news is he is healthy. It's an interesting question, and I love him. I love him before anybody.
Right, I'm surprised to hear you say that.
But I'm saying the quarterback in this instance.
All right, Sal, on to you. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. You will read Aaron Rodgers' book before he completes his first pass as a New York Jet.
Is it even out?
Yeah. The release is the 13th.
Of what?
Of August.
Is it? It comes out tomorrow?
The 13th.
Oh, today?
Today. It's out now.
Boy, I didn't even realize that. I heard them talking about it on the morning show. Yeah. I did not know the book was out. Now, this is a tricky one. I am going to say it's a bald-faced lie. I will not read the book before his first pass.
I know where he's going.
I am going to listen to
that
book.
There you go.
That's out today?
Yeah.
I'm going to re-up my Audible subscription and go on there and download. That's a must-listen to.
I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. I'm going to read, if not the whole thing, I'm going to read a lot.
As
a matter of fact,
it?
I'm face-first into an article right now but from the book, an excerpt about Olivia Munn. I mean, that's the stuff. That's the first thing I can't wait.
Yeah, you know? It's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
So now, will you go buy it or order it on Amazon or whatever?
But they'll probably send it to us, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is it? I want an advanced copy. We should have had this weeks ago.
Well, you know, fellow Marist author is
O'Connor?
Ian O'Connor's Marist guy.
Oh, maybe we get him in studio.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe.
Well, I mean, too late now. I wanted the book before it came out.
Why?
Because now I want to go on Audible and read it or listen to it.
I'll tell you, the excerpt that I have now, it's pretty interesting already.
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm 100%
pretty good.
I am going to get started on that this week.
He's very talented, too.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. And Rodgers, by the way, in the interview with Boomer and Geo, he didn't authorize
it. I know
this,
he didn't.
But he also didn't, like, just poo-poo it and say it's garbage.
I was pretty clear he's got respect for Ian.
Correct.
And, you know, he spoke to 500 sources or tried to, and he thinks he got to at least half of them.
I can't
so
wait.
So it's not an irresponsible, you know, compilation of nonsense.
Rodgers is fascinating.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It should be a good book.
Yeah. Hoff, can you read?
I was about to say, quick jab here. Listening is not reading. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's why I said lie at first. I can't. I'm not going to read it. I don't have that time, but I am going to listen to it. I can't wait.
All right, last one. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. BT, Jason Dominguez will be called up before September 1st.
I think that is a bald-faced truth. I do. And I'm starting to scream it from the top of the mountains here. I just think that,
you know, you saw it again last night, and I know that the score got away from them, and it probably, you almost forget this because they got destroyed by 10 runs to the pitiful White Sox, but there were situations, and Giancarlo Stanton had a chance to do something, get Judge's back, didn't do it. So, and that's not the only reason. If Chisholm is hurt, that's another thing. You know, he went for the MRI. I just think it behooves certainly Dominguez, and by extension the Yankees, get him here now so he's kind of immersed in the culture of this, what's going on, and get around Soto in the batting cage. Just get him here. And I think that they have to know that. Bald-faced truth, he'll be here by September 1.
Yeah, I'm going to say bald-faced lie. Isn't a lane for him. Although, the caveat here is Stanton could get banged up any minute. You know, he walks down the stairs the wrong way, he's going to get hurt, and it is only August 13th, so we have a few weeks to go before that September 1st. However, I'm going to say that Stanton stays healthy, and I'm going to believe and trust Brian Cashman that there is no lane currently for Dominguez. I don't think it opens up until September. Bald face lie. He will not be up here pre-September call.
Interesting. I got news for you. If they were to get swept by the White Sox, and they're like, and they're fairly impotent offensively in the process, I don't think they'll get swept. Yeah. I mean, but if they did, he'll be up by Friday.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something.
You can't tolerate that.
Change the narrative. Bring Dominguez up and avoid everybody talking about the White Sox sweep. There's no way. So we got to bet it big tonight.
Mm. Are we going to throw a little coin on this? That was interrupted with that Giant news. Are we doing something here?
I think we should.
The McCarthy news.
I think we should, and then we'll react to it tomorrow.
All right.
This will be our first official family play. We have to do it. Hoff, are you in on that?
Yeah, why not?
Betting the Yankees tonight? Zoo, what about you? You going to do it? Are you with us tomorrow?
Let's do it.
All right, there you go. Everybody's in. For how much, we'll determine that.
Yep.
You got to lead the way here.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you get your FanDuel,
right?
Yeah,
my FanDuel account. Slap it open, see what's going on.
I'll PayPal you how much or whatever I'm in.
Whatever. I mean, are we going big?
Are they going to lose to the White Sox? By the way, you think I'm mad at the Yankees? No. If we bet the big and they lose to the White Sox, I will rip them to shreds tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
I think we got to go C-No to Peace. I think we got to go four spot here. I ain't got to.
400 apiece?
No. C-No to Peace. Four. Well, you know, maybe you and I will go 100. Maybe Hoff and Zoo go like 25,
right, but 100
50.
To win what? Like 20
100
bucks?
For me, 100 from you.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All
no, run and a half. I'm not doing the run and a half. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. I can't be swayed to bet your way. You got busted and broke for a while.
There's already dissension in the ranks.
So maybe we don't do it.
I just want them to win tonight. They're going to win.
Follow my lead. We'll win this way. By the way, Hoff just said in my ear. So I was right. It is meniscus.
Torn meniscus.
That's right. How long are you out for?
They didn't say yet. Yeah.
He's fine.
Dr. BT. There you go. We need your own sounder. I like that.
I know the body. All right. Let's get to Billy in Northport, Connecticut. What's going on, Bill? All right.
All that time finding yourself. Yes.
Yeah. Bill. Billy.
What's up, Bill?
Yeah. Is this me? You have
Bill, save me here, buddy.
What's up,
Bill?
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is Northport, not Connecticut.
Anyhow,
the reason I'm calling is there was two things. And if I may finish, I'd really appreciate it. I really love you guys. You're terrific. And BT, I know you've played ball, so you can appreciate it by exactly what I'm about to say.
Go for it.
But in any case, a pitcher should throw the best pitch he has as often as possible. And I think the Yankees are being mismanaged. And by the way, it's nothing against Aaron Boone, because I was at the game in 2003 when he hit the walk-off against Boston to get us into the World Series. So I'll always love him because of that, just like Bucky. But he is not managing. I'll give you an example. A few games ago, I forgot who the heck we were playing, but the guy couldn't get the ball over the plate. He walked three guys in a row, couldn't even get near the plate. Now all of a sudden, we got nobody out, bases loaded, and Torres is getting up.
Is this the Rangers series you're talking about? Last series?
Yeah, it could be the Rangers series. Bases loaded, Torres is getting up, and then he swings at the first pitch, which is in the dirt, and pops it up. Now, I called another radio station, but the guy who I talked to hasn't played ball as often as you.
It doesn't matter. This is the station. Keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
We take you seriously? You're calling another radio station. Yeah. You don't even know what team the Yankees are playing. You're going to knock Aaron Boone? I mean, come on, Bill. Get with it.
No, wait a minute. That's got nothing to do with it. All right, the team. What matters is that it was a game. The opposing pitcher couldn't get the ball over the plate. Didn't even come close. And then this guy swings at the first pitch. And then the retort to me from the host of the show was, they believe that the next ball will be down the middle. I said, you know what? One thing I loved about Joe Torre, you know, he would take certain analytical.
Who believed that the next ball would be down the middle? Like, what is this? Are you close your eyes and, hey, I believe the next ball is going to be down the middle. Like, me with my roulette theory.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I was just going to say that.
He's
got to throw a strike
at some point.
Let it rip, Claver.
Guys, that's what the host said.
I don't know. Okay? I don't.
No, I don't believe that. I believe is you put the pressure on the pitcher.
Yeah.
Don't swing at the first pitch. Make them.
I agree with
you. But all right, that's another story.
No, Bill. And Bill, but hold on. But calm down, Bill. I agree with you. By the way, I know it's changed a lot, and I know it's hitter dependent. Like Aaron Judge is going to have more latitude than Rice at this stage, even though Rice has a fairly good sense of the strike zone. But when a pitcher is on the ropes, let him hang himself, man. And if he can't find the strike zone, hey, make him throw one. Make him throw two.
Don't do him any favors.
I know. Don't
it's common
the zone.
Sense. It goes back to Little League 100 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Common sense. Oh, they swing at it because they think it's going to be down the middle. The next one's due. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's just...
Then again, I will tell you, sometimes people just ignore signs.
Yeah. I know. But you think Boone's giving him a take sign in that spot?
No,
like, what
no,
are we,
no,
10 just, years old?
No, I ignored a bunt sign in college. My coach flagged, ignored it twice in a row.
Come get you with the bat, hit you in the
shins. He only flipped out, man. Yeah. Ignored it twice. Then I struck out.
Why am I not surprised?
No, it was rough. It was rough. But that's not, listen, the
oh,
pros.
I'm sorry, coach. How'd you play that one?
I didn't
see it,
coach.
Yeah.
Well, I never really did bunts. I was kind of taken by surprise, whatever. I was in a bad funk and he was trying to get me out of it. And it was guys on base. I'm like, I ain't bunting. Trying to hit my way out of this, whatever. I'll deal with the repercussions later. And then I had to.
Yeah.
But I really do wonder, like, as much as that call was a little bit all over the map, I do wonder, like, what the professional protocol is. Like, to me, you're down multiple runs in the ninth inning. You're not swinging until the opposing pitcher throws a strike. I mean, that's the way it used to be. 1-0, not swinging to 2-0, not swinging.
Well, it also like, used to be 3-0, just you don't swing it now.
No, but I'm saying you don't even swing.
I know.
Down three runs, ninth inning, no balls, no strikes, first batter, first pitch, ball. You're not swinging. And if it's a ball, you're not swinging to the next pitch. You're not swinging until he shows he can throw you a strike. I don't know when that went away.
Here's the thing. They're taught to find a pitch in your zone and hammer it. Do damage with it. I don't care what the count is. So if Glaber's not taking that into account, hey, this guy's been wild, I'm just going to go up there and look for my pitch, and if I think it's my pitch, I'm going to do some damage with it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you can't trust Gleyber Torres to do that. Like you said, you could trust Soto, you could trust Judge.
Yep.
You can't trust Gleyber Torres. So I think it's more about the player than about the manager or the message.
Yes, but now let's, and I don't know the answer to this, and listen, I can accuse Gleyber Torres of not always running hard and not being involved in the game mentally, but I don't want to levy this criticism, so it's not, I'm honestly asking the question. If you're Gleyber Torres and you're hitting 230 something with an OPS of 691, whatever the hell it is, and you're in a contract year and you got a couple of guys on base, I might be swinging too to try to pump up those numbers a little bit.
Doesn't mean it's right.
So what's the motivation? Is it about self or team? Whether it's Gleyber or somebody else, I don't know.
Does
that happen to Pete Alonso next week? I don't know.
And then where does the manager step in? Like, obviously in Little League or in college, it's different where the manager is going to dictate more of those things.
Oh, I got yanked from the game. I was out of the game.
All right. Now, does that happen in the big leagues? No.
No.
You can get a little pat on the back. Hey, go get him next. I mean, I don't know. What are the conversations? Did he miss a sign? We really don't know.
We don't know. But I just think it's so different. I really do. I don't know. And not necessarily different good. There's just so many things in baseball that you used to abide by that are just overlooked and you don't even calculate it anymore. It's crazy.
But ultimately, it should come down to a feel. Like, it shouldn't have to be said. Now, maybe it does, but Boone shouldn't have to go to Gleyber and say, hey, this guy can't find the strike zone.
I know.
Like, we're down, whatever the situation was. I forget what he was talking about, which game. But we're down. You know, the guy's on base. The guy can't find the strike zone. It shouldn't need to be said that let him throw you a strike first. And then Gleyber goes up there and swings at the first pitch and doesn't do anything with it. Like, if you are going to swing at the first pitch, you better make sure you do something with it.
Yep.
Just at least let him throw you a strike. All right, now he's got the zone. Now we can have it at bat. Until he does, it's common sense.
I don't think the Yankees are alone in that regard. I think it's permeated throughout baseball. It's permeated baseball, excuse me. And I think it's just the way the game is now. You know, I don't want to say taught, but what's accepted. There's more tolerance for that stuff. It's crazy.
Well, like you said, you'd be yanked from a game if you didn't do something right.
I was.
Right. And I do think in the old days, you know, Billy Martin, whoever you want to reference, would be guys accountable if you didn't do the right thing by the team. And in that spot, that's a selfish thing to be swinging at the first pitch.
It is.
The guy's not throwing a strike.
What do you think Billy, and again, a million years ago, but what do you think Billy, or even Torrey, but let's just stick with Billy, he brought him up. What would Billy have done? You know, how do you think he would have shot holes through Verdugo's body with a glare after he popped up that bunt attempt. Yeah. He would have just shot him a look, and maybe more.
And Gleyber Torres wouldn't be here right now to be pulled out of the game.
Yeah, true. I mean, they would have gotten rid of him. Billy would have ridden him out
of town. But that's also the point.
Or Billy would have made him a more intense player from day one.
Then, yeah, that's, I mean, that's
that
the
may
big,
have happened.
Correct. That's the
and
bigger
point. And he may have
been
a retired number at some point.
The worst thing these guys do now is just let it linger and let it go on. The Gleyber Torres is not a problem today or this morning or this year. He's been a problem for years. It was the same thing with Gary Sanchez. For years.
Josh Donaldson was pimping.
Because you don't do it from the start. Yep. Nip it in the bud. Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham Jr.
Yep.
The beginning of it. Coughlin was kind of handcuffed on that one. And it created
Coughlin
a problem.
Coughlin got soft with him, no doubt. He absolutely got soft
Well, because
with
he knew it was at the end and he needed them, but it turned out to be the wrong thing.
Yeah, I hear you. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on The Fan. We're going to get an update from Bogish. That'll come at you right now. And looking forward to our next guest. This Fanatics Fest thing is going to be absolutely insane. That's coming up next hour as well. So we've got that for you. Bogish, what do you got, bud? Take it away.